And we're holding in Zion Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Koinam Peres Ha'elu Alai. Suppose a person says that Koinam, a Lashon of a Neder, these fruit on me, meaning the fruit is also to him, as we've been learning throughout the Masechta, the fruit is also to him by Neder, as if it was a curtain. Or Koinam Hein Alpi, who he says they should be a Koinam for my mouth, or Koinam Hein Lifi, or a Koinam also for my mouth, all of those are a Lashon that he's making the Peres also to him. The point being, since he's making the payrus also to him, in effect, he makes them like hektish. We learned actually earlier in the Masechta that even we talked about the possibility of Me'ila applying to such kinds of koinamos. So in any case, therefore, it has the din of hektish as far as also b'chilu fehen u'b'dulehen, that he's also to have hana from anything that growth, from anything that's exchanged from them, meaning that if he sells them, then if he sells them and for money or exchanges them for other fruit, then that other fruit is also going to be also to him, the same way as it would be with hektish, over gedulehem, and things that grow from them, meaning if he plants them, then he wouldn't be able to have hana from what grows from them. On the other hand, and the Ram points out, which we've learned before, that it would be one thing if he said that this kind of fruit is also to me. For example, if he were to say that figs or what have you are also to him, he hasn't answered any particular figs. So then you would say that you can't include the chilufim and the gedulim, because after all, what he's eating is not figs, or it's, in the case of gedulim, it's not because he traded it for something else. And in the case of gedulim, we're talking about, let's say, what grows from them is other parts of the plant that are not figs themselves. But here, where he says these pears are also to me, then in effect, he's made them like hektish. On the other hand, shani oichol, shani toyim. On the other hand, if he says that anything that I would eat of them or anything that I would taste of them is koinam, is osir, then mutu b'chilufein of gedulehen, then he is allowed to eat the chilufim and the gedulim, because the fact is he's not actually tasting, even though it sounds like it's true. It sounds like when he says that I won't eat or that I won't taste, it sounds like he's in a way making the neder even stronger. But on the other hand, not really, because the fact is, he's not tasting or eating these particular fruit. Therefore, the chilufim and the gedulim are going to be mutter. Now, we talked about this matter of chilufim and gedulim the other day. We had a few days ago a discussion where Rami Bar Chama brought up the question, when a person says that these payers are koinam to ploini, then is ploini also in chilufehen and gedulehen? We actually brought our Mishnah as one of the proofs over there. And we discussed over there, one possibility we said there is that in fact the chilufim would be osir, the question would be about the gedulim, really. So we had a whole discussion about that previously on Daf Nun Beis. So over there, in fact, we did bring our Mishnah, and we said that the Gemara had said that there we have the question, rather, Rami Bar Chama asked, what was the main thing? The fact that he said Elu, or the fact that he said She'eni Toyin, that I won't taste them? Which one is the one that makes it that now, in that case we talked about, where is he allowed to eat what comes out of them, like the juice that's squeezed out of them, or whatever? So we said that maybe in fact when our Mishnah says chilufein and gedulein, implying that what's squeezed out of them is mutter, maybe in fact not. It would be osur, but in fact the Mishnah wants to tell us the bigger chiddush about chilufim and about gedulim. We mentioned over there the Ran discussed over there, and again he discusses over here the point that for one thing, went for one thing, you could argue that that when he's, again, when he says Elu, then he's making them hektish, therefore there's more reason to say the chilufim and the gedulim are aser, rather than when he said just shani toyim without using the word Elu, where then you could imply, then you could argue that it is weaker. Because even though he did say, because even though he, in our Mishnah, he doesn't say Elu, he only says shani oichov and shani toyim, maybe that would be weaker, and maybe therefore chilufim and gedulim would be mutter. Here the Ram discusses that point again, and one thing he mentions is again, there may also be a difference between whether the person himself who made the neder is going to, whether he trades them in and then creates chilufim or gedulim of them, versus whether somebody else does it. So Reuven himself makes a neder. I won't have hanah from these fruits. Later on, if he goes and trades them, then you could argue maybe that the chilufim are also. On the other hand, if Shimon tells him, you, Reuven, are also in these fruits, which was the case that we had previously on Dachman Beis, now we could discuss, and Rami Vachama does over there, whether maybe chilufim and gedulim are mutter as well. Or whether they're also as well, same as if he himself had made the neder, or whether maybe in that case they're mutter. Anyway, continues on Mishnah. The Dovash Zare Kola. This that was saying that you're allowed to have, that in certain cases you're allowed to have Hana from the Chilufim and the Gedulim, namely when he didn't say these fruit, he just said Shani Oichol v'Shani Toyim. That would only be the Dovash Zare Kola, only with things that rot in the ground, and then only with seeds, where only with things where the seed rots away in the ground, and then something grows. Because now you can say there's nothing left of the original Isser, so now you can say, therefore, so when he said these fruit, okay, he said they become like hektish, sort of, and you have dinim about if you plant hektish, what comes from it? That's the thing, but even though he said, but the thing is, even though he said these fruit, it's true, but on the other hand, he made them like hektish, and therefore they sort of have the din, so they sort of have the din of hektish. Which in fact there is discussion among the Achronim on the point. The fact is, if you take if you take hektish and plant it, then in fact the Rambam Paskins that actually the Gedulin are considered chulin, even if you weren't poy to them. Apparently, at least the Ran disagrees with the Rambam and says the fact is, fine, you can redeem them, but until you do, then all of them are going to be also banah, and so it would be over here as well. So bedavish hazare kolah. So only when the seed rots away, where then you don't have anything left of the original.
Even eat the things that you say you won't eat, right?
In the case of Nedarim, there's no really being poida. In the case of Nedarim, yes, we matter Nedar. What we mentioned earlier about Pidyon for Koinomas, we talked about, for example, you have a specific case where a person says, let's say, this thing is also Bahana until this thing is also Bahana when it's chopped down, or until it's chopped down, whatever. We had that whole case over there where we said that then he's able to be poida. Yeah. Now Zare, but when you have something where the seed itself does not rot away in the ground, for example, onions. Now onions, you can plant them from seeds, but you can also plant them by putting a bulb, an onion bulb in the ground, and the original bulb remains over there, and then it keeps on developing layer new and new layers around it. So then the original Zera is still there. So then, afilu gidula gidulin asurin, not only will the gidulin be osur, but even gidula gidulin. So you planted the onion, and eventually it developed more layers, and eventually you pull that onion out of the ground. And then later on, you replant it, and more onions grow from it. So even though that's only the secondary growth from the original one, still, the original onion still exists there, therefore it's gonna be osur.
All the skins that come with it.
And all the skins that come with it, right. So now we're going to talk about the Gemara. We're going to start talking about the matter of, and it's going to go over the next couple of blocks, what happens, what do we consider, what is the status of the new growths versus the old growths? We're actually going to have a machloekas of the Ran and most of the other Mephoshim about what we say about what's the din of the new growth versus the old growth. Anyway, are we going to say that the new growth itself is mutter, but can it be mevatel the original growth? Are we going to say that maybe it itself becomes also together with the old growth? We're gonna get into that as far as Shemitah, as far as other dinim. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Another case. Suppose a man says, husband says to his wife, a koinam on your maasiya dayas, what you produce with your hands is going to be also to me. Or koinam hein al pi, or again he uses the lashon, a koinam on my mouth, a koinam hein lafi, also the chilufein of gedulayim, then also he's also in the chilufim and the gedulim. The point being, the chidush is, in other words, the Ran says that in the previous part of the Mishnah, we were talking about, he says, these fruits or whatever. Here he's saying, in effect, the fruit that belongs to Pliny. Because in effect, that's what he's saying, the Maisi Adayim that were made by Pliny, in this case, my wife. So the same thing, Chilufim and Gedulim would be applied, would be also. The Ran points out, by the way, Maisi Adair is something that it's Dover Shein by Mamash. It doesn't exist yet. And then how can you ask it? So either where he says your hands are osir, your hands are koinam yadayah for maaseim, koinam on your hands regarding their maaseim, and the hands exist. So it would be similar to what we learned earlier in the Masechta. For example, a person says a koinam on my eyes, but they won't sleep. So you can't say a koinam on sleep because that's intangible, but you can say a koinam on my eyes, but they won't sleep. So then, yeah, so also another possibility is that the Ram says, it could be she already did the Maisi Adeha, and now it already exists, and now he's putting a koinam on it.
But the Maisi Adeha, she's sewing is one thing, but her hands mean she can't have dough, she can't have...
No, so she herself is going to be mutter, right? Okay, right. So I mean, so I have to get his food from other places, right? So actually, he brings from Ben Yonah that actually what's going to happen is, let's say, for example, he supplied wheat from his field, and then she took it and continued the processing and ground it up and made bread out of it, etc. So then we would actually divide it up. Only the part of the value that she contributed would be also to him. The value of the wheat that he contributed is not Maisi Adeha. That part would remain mutter to him. So in other words, the vote is, so we would figure out, so she made a loaf of bread, let's say, we would figure out the loaf of bread now would sell for $2. We figure out, let's say, that of that 50 cents comes from the wheat, is from the wheat that he provided, and the other $1.50 is from the work that she did. Fine, when she sells it, 50 cents of it will be mutter to him, and the other $1.50 will be osir. That's what we're saying, the chibufim are osir. So he's also the chilufein of gedulayim. Again, shani oichol shani toyim. But if he says that I won't eat or that I won't taste, again, even though it sounds like he's making the nether stronger, in a way it's weaker because now chilufim and gedulayim, he's not eating the actual thing that she made. Mutter the chilufein of gedulayim, and then he's mutter to eat the exchanges or anything that grows from them. Again, the dover shazare kola. Again, that would apply only where the original seed rots away in the ground. But something where it doesn't rot away in the ground after the gedula gedula nasurin. Then again, even the gedula gedula are going to be osir because you still have the original isur is there, so you can't even talk about chilufim and gedulim. You still have. So in other words, again, if she took an onion bulb, for example, and planted it, then he's going to be osir to eat the new layers of the onion. And even if that onion was later taken out of the ground and then replanted, and then more layers grew, then still it's going to be also because somewhere underneath all those layers is still the original part of the onion that was also to him.
Even though it was his onion.
Even though it was so again, no. So we'd have to be talking about Pashtus based on what the Ran is saying from Rabbeinu Yonah. I guess we would have to say, on the face of it, we'd have to say that the onion is hers, that the original onion was hers. But, I mean, I guess, again, depending how we're going to learn on Amud Beis about this whole matter of the Iker and the Gedulin, whether we're saying the Gedulin are in fact considered a separate thing, and the question is about them being Mevatel or not, or whether we consider that they all become one unit, that may affect the question of whose is the original onion over here. Continues the Mishnah. Another din, not related anymore to Gedulin, but a separate din, Sha'at Oisa Eni Oichel Ada Pesach. Suppose that the husband makes a neder, whatever you, my wife, produce, I will not eat until Pesach. Or Sha'at Oisa Eni Meskasa Ada Pesach, or whatever you make, I'm not going to wear until Pesach. Well, Osa Lifnei Pesach Mutalechel Iskasa Sa'akar Pesach. So if she makes anything before Pesach, he is allowed to eat it, he is allowed to wear it after Pesach. The chiddush of it is, we shouldn't think the word Ada Pesach maybe refers to when she made it. And then we would say, I mean, anything she made up until Pesach is going to be also hit to him forever. No, we don't say that. We understand his neder in the straightforward sense. In other words, because if he actually meant that, then he would have rearranged the words. He would have said, whatever you make until Pesach, I will not eat or I will not wear. The fact that he says anything that you make or anything that you eat, I won't wear or I won't eat until Pesach, he puts the until Pesach at the end, implies therefore that after Pesach, he's allowed to eat it or he's allowed to wear it. On the other hand, if he says, Sha'at oisa ada pesach, any oichel, sha'at oisa ada pesach, any miskaseh. But if he does say it like that, whatever you make until Pesach, I won't eat, or whatever you make until Pesach, I won't wear, also lifnei pesach, also lechol iskaseh after pesach. Well, then, yeah, if he makes it before Pesach, then he is also to eat it or to wear it after Pesach, because the fact is, then we understand his neder to be that anything that was made before Pesach is off limits to him, permanently, or for as long as the term of the neder applies. So another din, we discussed much earlier in the Masechta. Now we had earlier in the Masechta, in the second parak, we had a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman. Suppose that a person makes a neder that depends on a condition. When do we say, does he have to be careful not to do the condition? So we had a case over there. And Dr. Dalib Tesvov. A person makes a neder, a koinam, that my eyes won't sleep today if I sleep tomorrow. So in other words, we had a case over here. He's saying basically, I don't want to sleep both today and tomorrow. If I sleep today, then I'm going to be also to sleep tomorrow. So now, Rabbi Yehuda said he shouldn't sleep today, because what happens if in the end he ends up sleeping the next day as well, and now he's been over on his neder? So like this, he needs to make sure to stay awake today, and that way there's no possibility of him being over on his neder. On the other hand, Rabbi Nachman had said, let him go ahead and sleep today. We're not worried about that. Because the fact is, today he's not also to sleep. If he sleeps today, then yes, he's going to have to be careful not to sleep tomorrow. Obviously if he sleeps tomorrow, he's going to be over on his neder. Rabbi Nachman is saying he does not have to be careful not to sleep today, just because that will trigger a neder that he will now be also to sleep tomorrow. So today, Rabbi Nachman says he doesn't have to be careful. If he falls asleep today, let him sleep. All he has to do is, having fallen asleep today, he'll know, okay, now my neder has been triggered. Now tomorrow I'm also to sleep. Yeah. And then we said the other way around. What if he makes the neder the other way around, that I won't sleep tomorrow, that I won't sleep tomorrow if I sleep today? Then he is allowed to sleep today, because then he's going to be careful in the Isser itself. He may not be careful with the Tanai that leads to the Isser, but he will be careful with the Isser itself. So in that connection, we brought our Mishnah over here. Let's learn the Mishnah again, and then we'll talk about how we learned over there, how Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman would understand it respectively. Sha'at nenes liyad pesach im ha'leches asel at leves avich adachan. The husband says to his wife, a neder that you will be usher to have hanah from me until Pesach, if you go to your father's house any time between now and Sukkot. So he's standing, let's say, in Adar. He says, if any time between now and Sukkot you go to your father's house, then the result of that, that's going to trigger a neder that you are also to have hanah from me between now and Pesach. So, holcha lifnei Pesach, asur b'hanah also ad Pesach. So if she goes before Pesach, which is obviously also before Sukkot, then she is, in fact, also to have hanah from him until Pesach. Because now she's violated the Tanai. So now the neder has been triggered. You have, by the way, the Ran mentioned over there in that sugya earlier that in the end, the halacha over there was like Rabbi Huda, that you have to be careful with the Tanai in the first place. But in any case, even both Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Nachman agree that if the Tanai was triggered, then if a person is over on the nether, then it's also. Who is Chayiv Malkus in that case? We said the Ran holds she's the one who's Chayiv Malkus, because in the end she's the one who went and triggered the nether, and she's the one who's having Hanah from him. On the other hand, we said the Rambam holds that the husband would be Chayiv Malkus because he's the one who put the nether on her in the first place. We talked about it in a few places so far in the Masech, the various ramifications of that Machlokas of the Ran and the Rambam. When you have like that, when Reuven puts Shimon under a nether and then the nether is broken, who is Chayiv Malkus? Reuven, who created the nether, or Shimon, who was actually Osir and who was the one who was actually over? Anyway.
But the bottom line is, though, you open your mouth and said something, it's your problem.
Well, that's true. But on the other hand, the fact is, once he asked her, she has a responsibility not to do this. So now, again, we're saying if she went to her father's house before Pesach, then definitely she's also to have enough from him until after Pesach.
Once she's married,
she has to have kibbutz avim, but her husband's kibbutz comes first. But in any case, it doesn't really matter. I mean, we've learned already earlier in the Masechta that Nedarim are able to be chal on a dry mitzvah. Remember, we said a person makes a neder, for example, that matzah is also to me. He's not going to be able to eat matzah by the Seder. Yeah. So, unlike we said a shvuah, a person makes a shvuah, I won't eat matzah. Tough, he still has to eat it on by the Seder. He's a mushpa of Oymin Mahar Sinai. He's already besworn from Mahar Sinai to do this mitzvah. But when it comes to matzah, well, for example, when it comes to a neder, because a neder is different. Remember, a neder is on the object. The object is not mushpa of Oymin Mahar Sinai. We also talked about previously a svara that, after all, conceivably, there is a way to say the neder in such a way that he's also only in some matzah. He could say, for example, only matzah from Ukraine is also to me the marshal. And then he'd still be able to be yotzei the mitzvah with other kinds of matzah. I think we said the Avnei Nezer, I think, said the svara. So therefore, even when in the end he actually says it, that all matzah is also to me, still it didn't necessarily mean that there still could conceivably have been a way in which some matzah would have been mutter to him. The fact that it so happens that all of it is nevertheless the neder is still chal. Anyway, so la'achar pesach b'val yachol. Now, on the other hand, continues the Mishnah. If she goes to her father's house after Pesach, then retroactively she was over on Val Yachol because she had Hana before Pesach. So now here's where we had. So in other words, again, remember the nether was if you go to your father's house anytime between now and Sukkot, then you will be also to have Hana from me until Pesach. So now. If she actually went before Pesach and had the Hanah before Pesach, no question about it. She was over on the Tanai and she was over on the Nether. So therefore, there's definitely Malkus involved. Again, according to the Ran, she will get Malkus, and according to the Ramam, the husband will get Malkus. But if she waited to go until after Pesach, so that means, in other words, when she had the Hanah, the Tanai was not in effect yet. That's the point. When she had the Hanah before Pesach, the Tanai had not yet been, the nether had not yet been triggered yet because the Tanai hadn't taken place. Now, when the Tanai takes place after Pesach, retroactively there is Baal Yachal involved, meaning that the nether has been transgressed. So now you have Rav Nachman versus Rav Yehuda. What does this mean? According to Rav Nachman, it means exactly what it sounds like. It means that it means that if she has Hanah before Pesach, she's also to go after Pesach, and if she is, then she's over on Baal Yachol, because now by doing that, she's triggering, she's making that retroactively, she was over on an Issur.
So she goes after Pesach, she's...
So then it means that she shouldn't have had enough from him before Pesach, and since she did... The nether was that if she goes any time between now and Sukkot, then she will be also to have enough from him till Pesach. Remember, we're standing in Adar. We're standing Purim time. So he's saying, if any time during the next 7 months, between now and Sukkot, you go to your father's house, then that's going to trigger a neder that for the next month, from now until Pesach, you are also in Hanah from me. Now, she had Hanah from him during that month. Now, if she then goes, before Pesach, and has the Hanah before Pesach, no question she was over on the Issa because the neder was triggered before she ever had the Hanah. But now the question is, what happens? She had the hana, only later on is she doing the thing that would trigger the neder. She's going to her father's house. It's still within the time of the, of the condition, but the but the hana has already taken place. So according to Nachman's understanding in the Gemara earlier, what it means is, in other words, exactly that. She's also to go to her father's house after Pesach, because then it means retroactively she's causing that the neder was in effect, and therefore that the hana that she had from her husband was also. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what we're saying is that it's more than that. She, according to Rabbi Nachman, she was allowed to have hana before Pesach. All it is that now, having had that hana, now she has to be careful not to do the trigger. The same way as we said before, that if he says that if I sleep today, I won't sleep tomorrow, then according to Rabbi, Nachman, yeah, if he sleeps today, he's not allowed to sleep tomorrow. But he doesn't have to avoid sleeping today because that might trigger the neder. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying midrabanan, she shouldn't have hana before Pesach. In other words, when we say acha Pesach v'val yachol, it means because there's the possibility of val yachol, therefore, even before Pesach, she should not have hana from her husband, because later on the neder might be triggered, and then it comes out retroactively that she was over on the neder by having hana. So in short, again, according to Rav Nachman, the vote is that all the Mishnah is telling us is that you should know that if she had that hana before Pesach, then, and now she goes after Pesach, then she is, then a neder has been transgressed. You shouldn't think that maybe once Pesach is over, once it's a done deal, the neder itself is no longer in effect because it was only until Pesach. Maybe it doesn't matter if at this point she's over on the Tanai, and we're saying that it does matter because now retroactively it's triggering it. According to Rav Yehuda, the Mishnah is telling us more than that, that before Pesach, she shouldn't be having that hana in order to avoid any possibility of problems of transgressing the neder. So in other words, it would come out. So if she doesn't have hana before Pesach, fine, then there's no problem with her going after Pesach to her father's house, because there's no issur to be triggered. There was no hana that she had from him between Purim and Pesach that would retroactively be also. So according to Rav Nachman, that's what we're saying. According to Rav Nachman, let her go ahead, have all the hana she wants from her husband. She's just going to have to be careful not to go anytime between now and Sukkot. According to Rav Yehuda, the Mishnah is telling us she shouldn't have hana from her husband in the first place between Purim and Pesach, in order that there's no possibility that it ever becomes also. But if she did, then yes. If she did have hana before Pesach, then yes, she's going to be also to go until that part. See, that's the thing. That part, that if she had hana before Pesach, she's also to go until Sukkot, everybody agrees to that, because obviously then it's causing that a neder is being transgressed. The question is, does she have to begin with avoid having hana until Pesach because she might go after Pesach? According to Rav Yehuda, yes. According to Rav Nachman, no. Yeah. Continues the Mishnah. The other way around. The other way around, if he says a neder that you won't have hana from me until Sukkot if you go any time between now and Pesach, where now it's the other way around. Now the trigger of the Tanai is only for a short time, and the issur that it triggers is going to be for a longer time. So now she goes before Pesach, then indeed she is also to have hana until Sukkot, because that's the way it works. She is allowed to go after Pesach because after Pesach there's no Tanai to be triggered anymore. As long as she didn't go till Pesach, then the neder was never triggered. Therefore, now after Pesach she can go. There's no neder to worry about that now is going to be chal as a result of her going. Even Rav Yehuda is going to agree to that because we said that a person is going to be careful with the actual issur, just not with the Tanai. And by now the Tanai is over. And in fact, really, the Ran said, the Ran points out there's really no chiddush in this din, but we're mentioning in the ratio, we're mentioning what happens if she goes after the time of the Issur is over. So therefore, to keep things parallel here, we're talking about what happens if she goes after the time of the Tanai is over. But of course, it's fairly obvious once the Tanai is over, then of course, if she goes, then there's no problem. She's not triggering any neder, but because the Tanai is no longer in effect. Okay. So from here till the end of the parak, we're going to be discussing this matter of chilufim and gedulim. The second part of the Mishnah about the last part of the Mishnah that we were just discussing about the Adar Pesach and Adar Chag, we already discussed that in detail. We already covered that in that earlier sugya in the second paragraph. So therefore, the Gemara doesn't deal with it over here. So we said in the Mishnah, Ha'omer l'ishtei koinam masi yadayim halai. So we said a husband says to his wife, koinam, that your masi yadayim are also to me. Or konam hein alpi, or there are konam on my mouth, konam hein lifi, or there are konam for my mouth, kola. So we said that the chilufim and the gedulim are also, because by saying maisi adayich is the equivalent of saying peiras ha'evu, is the equivalent of saying these peiras. So that's what we said on Amud Aleph, that the Ran explains, the chidush of it is, not only when he says peiras elu, do these dinim apply, but also when he says peiras of somebody. And in this case, he's saying peiras of yours. So therefore, that also creates this din of chilufim and gedulim. As opposed to, again, if he had said, the Mishnah says, if he had said that I won't taste them, then chilufim and gedulim would be mutter, because then the fact is he's not tasting them.
Because they have no taste.
But no, not because they have no taste, but because he traded them in for something else. If she, for example, bakes bread, and if he says a koinam that I won't taste your maisi yadayim, so if she bakes a loaf of bread, he's also to eat it. But if he trades in that loaf of bread for something else and he eats something else, he's not tasting the bread.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Yishmol ish kfar yama, Yishmol from kfar yama, which means, the Mephoshim explained, it means literally it was a village that was located by the seashore. Va'amilo ish kfar dima, or others say he was from a village called Dima, whatever. Hela biyode, he brought up in his hand, meaning he brought to the Beis Medrash the following question. All the Mephoshim explain over here does not mean literally, so here we're going to talk about a shaila involving an onion, doesn't mean that he brought an actual onion into the Beis Medrash, it means that he brought up a question that now the Chachamim are going to discuss, that's going to drive the sugya from the, that's going to drive the next part of the sugya. The question was, so we're going to relate this back, once we discuss this question, we're going to try to relate it back to our Mishnah eventually. So, butzel sha'okre v'shvius. Suppose that you pulled out an onion from the ground on Shemitah. Now, when it comes to vegetables, when it comes to fruits, you go according to when they develop a certain stage of their growth. But when it comes to vegetables, when it comes to all fruits except asrogin, when it comes to vegetables as well as asrogin, we learned about this in Masechta Rosh Hashanah just about a year ago, that when it comes to vegetables, you go according to when they're picked. So therefore, if this onion was picked during Shemitah, it has the din of Shemitah fruit. And therefore, you have all the various dinim of Shemitah applied to it.
So the whole year of Shemitah.
Even if,
and
right.
And you pick
it after Shemitah, well then, yeah. Then it's not Shemitah, it's not Shemitah fruit. So he uprooted, he pulled out this onion from the ground during Shemitah, the Notei Bashminis, then the following year, the eighth year, so now the first year of the new Shemitah cycle, he planted it. The Rabu Gidulov Al Ikrei, and now remember that an onion is Dover Shein Zare Kola, because you're planting the original onion and new layers grow around it. The Rabu Gidulov Al Ikrei, and now the Rabu Gidulov Al Ikrei, and now what you have is the gedulim, the amount that grew, is greater than the amount that was there to begin with. So now the Ran explains. It doesn't mean, in other words, that we don't just mean that some grew bigger. What we mean is that's big. The new amount that grew would be enough to be mevatel the iser. So let's say, for example, it grew 60 times larger. So now the question is, so Yishmol Ish Krayama's question is, Gidulim Heter the Ikrit Osir, given that the Gidulim are Mutter, because they don't have the din of Shemitah on the face of it, because they grew during a non-Shemitah year, the Ikrit Osir, but the original part, the original bulb was Osir because it was an onion of Shemitah, given the Rabu Gidulim, the ikrei, since now the gedulim are larger than the ikrei, 60 times as much, like the Ran said, oisim gedulei heter malin ase iser oiloi. So now, do we say that those gedulim cancel out and are mevatel the iser or not? So now, the Ran, here you have where the Ran and everybody else disagrees on the meaning of the Gemara, and this machlokas is going to have ramifications throughout the Sugya. The Ran learns, are we saying that it's like this? The question is, are the Gedulim after all come from the Iker, and the Iker is still there. So do we say that the Gedulim are considered a separate thing from the do we consider that the Gedulim are a separate thing from the Iker, and therefore they're able to be mivatel it, or do we say that since they came out of the Iser, then therefore we would say that they're also as well? So in other words, so the Ran is saying that the essential question could have been phrased just, are the Gedulim mutter or not? These layers that grew during the eighth year, are they themselves mutter to eat? And we would just say, as you peel back the onion, eventually you get to the original onion that was planted of Shemitah, and that part is going to have the din of Shemitah fruit. So would we say that or not? But he's saying that really one point depends on the other. If the Gedulei Heter are able to be mevatel the Isser, then yes, of course, they're going to be mutter. If not, then of course, then if they're not able to be mevatel it, then they themselves are going to be also, because after all, if they were mutter, they would be able to be mevatel. In other words, the Ran is taking the view that we consider the Iker and the Gedulin to be separate things, and the question is whether it's actually mevatel the other. So now, the Ran learns that way. On the other hand, the Rosh, Tosfos, and everybody else understands it differently, that the question is really whether the Gedulin themselves, and Ran explains, by the way, how he gets this, because later on in the Sugya, we're going to try to bring another proof from a din of Shemitah, and that proof, the Ran says, would seem to work only if you assume that the Gedulin are considered something separate from the Iker. On the other hand, the Rosh and Tosfos and everybody else understands that we're considering that the Iker and the Gedulim are all considered one unit. So the question would be, in other words, it's a plain matter of are the Gedulim mevatel the Iser or not? So here to phrase it a little more clearly, let's see. According to the Ran, yeah, the suffix is about the Gedulim, whether they're mutter. According to everybody else, no, sorry, I said it wrongly. According to everybody else, the Gedulim, there's no question on mutter. The question is, do they have the power to be mevatel the Iker? So again, according to the Ran, if we say the Gedulim are considered together with the Iker, then they're also together with the Iker. Of course, they can't be mevatel. Only if we consider that they're mutter, only then would they say that they can be mevatel. According to everybody else, the vote is for sure the Gedulim are mutter. The question is, are they mevatel the Iser along with them or not? Or do we say that in this onion, the outer layers are going to be mutter and the inner layers are going to remain also? So now, also l'chamei de Rav Ami, so Yishmael Ishkar Yama came with the question to Rav Ami, why have it be a day? And Rav Ami didn't know the answer. Then he came to Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha, Poshet Lemin Hodra, and he answered it on the basis of the following statement. The Omer of Chanina Trisa'a Omer of Yahai, Botzel Shal Truma Shenotai, if you plant an onion of Truma, so same idea, you had an onion out of Truma, and you replanted it in the ground, the Rabu Gidul of Al Ikroi, and the Gedulim grew over the Iker. So again, according to the Ran, you have so much Gedulim that conceivably could be mevatel the Iker. Really, I guess according to everybody, it would be that. The question would be, in other words, would we say that the Gedulim is the question, or the Gedulim themselves considered Truma, or would we consider the Gedulim are for sure Chulin, can they be mevatel the Truma? Are they part of the Iker or not, essentially, right? So the Panitri saw says mutter. He says that the onion will be mutter. So therefore, yes, you see. So in other words, mutter. In other words, that even Zorin can eat it. It's not considered truma anymore. Now obviously it's still going to be tevel itself. It's still going to need truma taken from it. But the point is, in other words, that you'll still be allowed to eat a snack from it, as we know throughout Shas, that you have dinim until the produce is brought into Pnei Abayis, into the front of the house, And you have, or until you have the various things that are prevail a meiser are taking place, for example, dipped in salt or sold or gathered together or whatever, then you're allowed to eat a snack of it. So therefore, so now Zorim will be able to eat it. It's not considered Truma anymore. So by the same logic, therefore, so that means, in other words, the Gedulim are in fact being Mevatel the Isser. So in the case of, so according to the Ramban, the vort is that now they're Mevatel it, and according to, in other words, they even though they're all considered one unit, they are Mevatel it. According to everybody else, the vort is, of course, the outer layers were Mutter all along. There's no question about that, but they have the power even to be Mevatel, the original onion of Truma that's hidden inside them. However, Omele Reb Yirmiya, the Tamer Reb Zirika, however, Reb Yirmiya, or some say Reb Zirika, says to Reb Yitzchak Napa, Shavik Mar Trein V'Ovid Chad, why, Rebbe, why are you abandoning two statements that we're going to have soon of Reb Yochanan and of Reb Yonason that contradict what you're saying, and instead you're accepting what Reb Chanina Trisa says, which is one against two? We're going to have now a statement of Rabbi Yochanan and a statement of Rabbi Yonason that no, the Gedulim are not Mevatel the Iker. Namely, Man Ninu Terein. So what are the two statements that oppose that? Number one, the Amar of Abahu Amar of Yochanan, Yalda Shesibcha B'Skena, in the dinim of Orla. So a tree is also, you're also to eat the fruit from a tree throughout its first 3 years. So suppose you take a branch from a young tree that is still during the years of Orla, and then you graft it onto Shesibcha, you graft it onto an older tree. Now, if there were no food in it, then fine, the branch would be bottled to the new tree or the new vine that it's attached to. But the case is, when you transplanted the branch, it already had peris on it. And those peris, of course, were Orla. So now, Alpha Pisha is Sifa Mosayin, even now they've grown 200 times as much. And for Orla, unlike most Yisurim, where you need only 60, Orla you need to be Mevatel in 200. Here you have the grapes or whatever it is have grown 200 times the size they were when you transplanted the branch. Nevertheless, also, we still say it's Osir, because these Peiros were before, so therefore the Gedulim are not, even though the branch itself is Batel, and even though you have Gedulim over here, the Gedulim are not Mevatel the Iker. So that's the thing, normally 200 would be enough, but now we're saying, because according to the Ran, the vort is, because the Gedulim came out of the Iker, and the Iker itself was Osir, because it was Arla, therefore they are also Osir. The Arla makes the rest of it Osir. According to everybody else, the vort is, fine, the rest of the grapes would be Mutter, it's not Arla. But the original grape in there, if you could, I mean, you may not be able to identify it, practically speaking, but in principle, the original grape there, no, because it wouldn't really be, because grape, unlike with onions, we have layers, grapes or whatever don't grow in layers. So you don't really have a layer that you can pick out and say was the original grape. Anyway.
You want to say close to the ground?
No.
Because that's where it started from.
No, because that's not how grapes grow, for example. Grapes grow, if anything, you'd say maybe the part closer to the stem or something, but maybe lobbed after that, I don't know. Anyway, the point is, so we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Gedulei Heter are not Mala the Isser. And the Omer of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Omer of Yonason, and another din that also shows the same thing. Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni says in the name of Rabbi Yonason, Botzel Shenote Bekerem, if you planted an onion in a vineyard, which is Kalaya Kerem, the result is that the onion and the grapes around it are going to be Osabana. The Nekera Kerem, now if the vineyard was uprooted, and now the onion continued to grow, also, so nevertheless, the onion remains also, save idea, because the part, even though it grew to, under, again, with Kalaya Kerem, also you can be Mevatel them in 200. But again, even though the onion grew 200 times as much, nevertheless, in there, inside there, you still have the original onion, which is also, and therefore the rest of it is also as well. Again, according to the Ran, all of it is also, and according to everybody else, we'd say maybe the outer layers are also, and the inner layer, the outer layers would be mutter, the inner layer would be also. Anyway, either way, we see that Gedulei Heter are not Mala Beiser. So why are you instead, why are you, Rabbi Yitzchak, not preferring what Rabbi Chanina Trisa said in the name of Rabbi Yanai, that in the case of Truma, it will be Mutter, Kizorim? So the Gemara says, Hodor also Kamedir Ami. So now the Shmuel Ishkfal Yama, who had the original question, where so far originally we said he went to Rab Ami and Rab Ami couldn't answer it. Then he went to Rab Yitzchok Nafa and he gave him this answer, but now Rab Yumi is saying it's not right because it contradicts other ones. Now he went back to Rab Yanai or to Rab Ami or Poshit Lemin Hodor. And he answered it. From the following. If you have a liter, which is about a pound, of onions, that you mistaken, you took out truma and mice from it, so now it's not tevel anymore, the zara, and then you planted it. Now what you do is later on, when you pick the new onions, you miser it according to the whole thing. In other words, what happens is the onions grow new layers in the ground. Those new layers then are considered tevel, and the result is that actually, because they grew out of the ikker, they themselves are also considered tevel. So therefore, what we say is it's the other way around. The new layers actually drag the original along with them. Now the whole thing becomes tevel. So we don't say, in other words, like this. If we didn't say that, we would say, well, let's weigh the onions and when we first planted them. We'd find, let's say, when we planted them, they weighed a pound. Now when we harvest them, they weigh total 10 pounds. And therefore, we're going to take miser only from the new 9 pounds that grew. No, we're not going to say that. We're going to say you have to take miser from the entire 10 pounds. The first one is Nesmatel, exactly.
But so we see, according to what we learned before, that Arlo's not Mevatel is different.
So 1 second. So actually, the Ran says that we have to say that there are Meroyim disagreeing what Rabbi Yochanan said, because we just had Rabbi Bohu quoting in the name of Rabbi Yochanan about the grapes that grew on the tree after that grew on the branch, that the grapes that continued growing on the branch after you grafted it. Where there we said that the Gedulin are not Mevatel the Iker. Here we're saying that the Gedulin are Mevatel the Iker to the extent that the whole thing becomes Tevel. Okay. So evidently then Rabbi Yitzchak is disagreeing with Rabbi Bohu what Rabbi Yochanan held on this subject. So Alma Oisin Gedulin Mevatel Iker. So don't you see that Gedulin are Mevatel the Iker? And therefore, so applying that to your case, then Yishmalish Faryama, the answer would be that the gedulin that grew, again, the question was, you took an onion of Shemitah and replanted it in the ground in the 8th year, and now the question is, what happens as far as the new growth? So now the answer is, yeah, the new growth of the 8th year, the new layers of the onion that develop, do not have the din of Shemitah, because they grew and were picked after Shemitah. Therefore, they are mevatel, the original onion that was inside them, therefore it doesn't have the din of Shemitah anymore. However, the Gemara says, Dumal Chumra Shaini. That's not a proof. Because maybe you would say Me'ikar Adin, the Gedulin are not Mevatel, but Lechumra, in this case, in the case where you planted the onions and now all of them become Tevel, we would say Lechumra, then we're saying that all 10 pounds of them are now considered Tevel.
Just
Lechumra, right. So now the Ran points out, the fact is, we know, as we learned previously in Armasafta, you do have to be careful when you have Meiser, between what's Daraisa, what's Chayav Daraisa, versus what's Chayav Darabanan, so you don't come to Meiser from something that's really Potter or something that's really Chayav on something that's Chayav or vice versa. So he says that no, if we say that the Gedulin are not canceling out the Iker, then, as the Ram says, what happens is the Gedulin themselves are considered like the Iker. So therefore, now, in principle, Midaraisa, all of it would be Potter from Meiser. Midarabanan, all of it is Chayav from Meiser. So therefore, no problem. You take out Meiser from it, you don't have that you're taking from one part that's Chayav on the other, because no matter how you look at the chiyuv on this onion, either way, the chiyuv on all of it is the same thing. It's not that 1 pound of it, it's not that the original pound of it has one level of chiyuv and the other 9 pounds have a different level. No, all of them are technically mutter, and then all of them are technically mutter daraisa, and the rabbanon, all 10 of them need right. Maisa. That's according to the Ran, again, where the question is, where we're saying that the question is on the Gedulim themselves, whether they're also or not. According to everybody else, the vote would be, onions are different. We learned a few days ago that Meiser of vegetables is only Drabon.
So therefore, there's nothing to talk about as far as what's chayiv and what's potter and what's potter, because all of it is only chayiv to Rabbanon in the first place.
Sikhlai and Karmen are different in this case because they're mechayiv on the rice and these are.
That's the point, in other words. So if it was fruit we were talking about, according to the shita of the Rambam, that all tree fruits are chayiv to Araisa. If we had a case like that involving tree fruits, then yes, you'd have to discuss what part, what's the original part, what's the added part. But again, according to the Ran, the vort is, it doesn't matter whether it's onions or other vegetables. Either way, midrabanan, we're considering the whole thing to be one unit because the gedulin grew out of the ether. And therefore, whatever applies to one applies automatically to the other. Therefore, either all of it is potter meikradin, or all of it is chayev because of the gzeira derabanan. So therefore, so you have no problem of what you're going to take meiser, and then you're going to have concern that one part of it is less chayev and meiser than the other. According to everybody else, the vort is maybe it is, but since it's only chayev and meiser, the whole onion is only chayev and meiser derabanan anyhow, then it doesn't really matter. Anyway, the point is, so maybe you could say when it comes to a chumrah, then we say that we consider the whole onion to be chayiv and meiser as a chumrah, not the ikar adin. How does that show that in the case that Yishmol, Ishkar Yama asked about, where if the other way around, we want to take the original onion, which was shmita, and we mevatel it in the new growth of the eighth year, how can we necessarily say that that would be valid? Ela min hodr. So rather, we can answer Yishmol Ishkar Yama's question from another braisa, the Tanya of Shimon Omer. Kol Davash Yeshle Matirin, anything which is a Davash Yeshle Matirin, which we learned about the other day, we have the whole long ran on Dafnun Beis. So classic Davash Yeshle Matirin, for example, is at the beginning of Beitza, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, where after Yom Tov it's going to be Mutter. And here we have examples. Tevel u'maisa sheni behekdash v'chodosh. For example, tevel is davar sheyesh l'matirin, because all you have to do is take out truma and maisa from it. And even the Ran points out, even if tevel was mixed up in chulin, fine, you may not be able to take maisa out of the mixture itself, because then you're going to have a problem. Part of it is chayav, part of it is potter. Fine, what you do is take out maisa from another batch of produce and have in mind that it will cover the tevel that's mixed in here. So you have, let's say, for example, 100 pounds of tevel got mixed in with however much chulin. What you do is you take a different batch of the same kind of peiros, and you say, for example, I'm designating two pounds of those peiros on the as truma on behalf of the 100 pounds that are in this mixture, and I'm designating 9 out of that other batch on behalf of the 100 that are in this mixture, and that'll be maaser rishon, and so on and so forth. So tevel umaiser sheni, same thing. Maaser sheni is a davar sheyesh lamatirin because you can be poyde. The hekdesh, you can be poyde also. The chodosh, it'll be mutter after the omer or after the 16th or 17th of Nisan. Loy nosner ben chachamim shir. So the chachamim did not give a shir in them, meaning that they aser even they aser even b'chol shehei. So no matter how, even if a small amount of them was mixed up in a much larger amount of heter, they're not butter. We discussed before when we had on Dachman Beis the whole sugya about Dover Shiesh Matirin and the Ran's whole explanation on it. We said there are two basic reasons. We said Rashi and Beitza explained the reason is because Ad Shetechlanu Be'isr, Techlanu Be'heter, instead of eating it Be'isr, you might as well wait till it becomes mutter, and then you'll eat it, and then you're not getting into any questions of eating something with the Osir. And the Ran had a whole explanation where he said that the vort is that because Davar Sheyesh Matirin has already a degree of heter in it, and the other is also, of course, mutter, therefore it's considered kind of like min b'minay, and therefore it's not bottle. We have the whole thing over there that he said that Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'minay is not bottle when they're the same physical substance, and the Chacham say it doesn't matter that they're the same physical substance, it matters that they have the same halachic status, and since one is mutter and the other one is very close to being mutter, then one can't cancel out the other. However, he said before, as we're going to say, so we said before over there, that depends whether they're mixed min b'mino or min b'inisheni mino. It is true that if Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin gets mixed up in other things that are not b'mino, then it would be b'nois in town. Then we'd go according to whether it imparts a flavor to the mixture, same as any other issur. Then we would go according to 60, for example. Anyway. Continues the Braisa, b'chol davar she'ein lo matirin. Now, anything which does not have a way of making it mutter, kugan truma, for example, truma, once you designate it as truma, it's also to kareinim, there's no way to make it mutter to zorim again. Really, I mean, you could actually be matur neder on your truma. However, The Ran explains there's no mitzvah to do that. Therefore, that's not called Rav Shesh L'Matirin. Further on in the Sugya, we're going to learn tomorrow on Daf Nuntes, that's the Shem, that, that when it comes to Nedarim, even though in a certain sense Nedarim are considered Rav Shesh L'Matirin, as the Ran discussed over there, the difference is they're only if there's a mitzvah to be Matir Neder, which there is, only then do we consider it Rav Shesh L'Matirin. So now, there's no mitzvah to be matir neder. When you designated a certain batch of produce as truma, there's no mitzvah to be matir neder on that. Therefore, we don't call it drav shiesh l'matir.
Why? In order to use it,
No. You don't use it. You go to the kohen. Truma, you go to the kohen.
Right.
So there's no mitzvah. In other words, what happens? The farmer has 100 saw of wheat. He designates 2 saw of it as truma for the kohen. Now, conceivably, he could go and be matir neder and say, you know what, I didn't want to give these 2 saw, I want to give instead a different 2 saw. So you'd be able to do that. It would all become tevel again, and he'd start all over from square one. However, there's no mitzvah to do that. On the other hand, when a person makes a neder, as we learned before in the Masechta, and we're going to learn tomorrow, there is a mitzvah to do Atardos Nedarim on it. Because ideally, a person shouldn't have made the neder in the first place. The same way.
You don't punish him.
The same way. No, we don't punish him unless he was over on the neder. But the point is, there was a mitzvah to be matir neder. And the same thing. So for example, so either you have where the issue goes away by itself. For example, an egg laid on Yom Tov, the issue is automatically going to go away as soon as Yom Tov is over. Or there is a mitzvah to do it. For example, with Hektish and Maisa Sheni, there is a mitzvah. If you can't bring them to your shrine, then you redeem them. There is a mitzvah involved. So those are called Davar Shiesh L'Matirin. But Truma, for example, is not, because again, there's no mitzvah to be mevatel it. Or Trumas Meiser, same thing, Trumas Meiser, which the Levi gives to the Kohen. Or the Chala that you take out from dough, the Orla, the Kalaya Kerem, and Orla and Kalaya Kerem, there's no way to be matter them at all. Once they're also, they remain also. So those, Nostaman, Chachamim Shir, all of those, the Chachamim gave a Shir, how much of them you need, how much you can be mevatel them in. So most things, 60, Truma and Trumas Meiser and Chala is 100, Orla and Kalaya Kerem is 200. Anyway, continues the Braisa, Omruloi. So now, when Reb Shimon said that rule, the Chacham said, "Valu Shvius Ein Lamatirin." What about Shvius is not a Davar Shiesh Lamatirin? Because when you have fruit of Shmita, it remains; it has the dinim of Shmita after Shmita is over as well. V'lo Nostim Chacham Shir, and we still see that the Chachamim did not put a shear on it. Ditznan, as in fact we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Shvius, Hashvius Aseres Kolshu B'Mina, that Shvius Aser is Kolshu when it's mixed the Mina. So how can you tell me that it's a difference of Davar Shiesh Lamatirin or not, if Shmita is not Davar Shiesh L'Matirin, and yet it's not Bottle? Amalahan, so Shimon answers them, Afani Layamati El Labir. You know what? When I'm talking about that Shvius is, Afani Layamati, or the Ran's Gir says actually, Afheim Loy Omru, the Chachamim, when they said that Shvius is not Bottle, they're talking about only as far as beer. One of the dinim of Shmita is when there comes a point when this particular type of produce is not available on the field anymore, then you have to do beer on it. According to the Rambam, it literally means you have to eat it or destroy it. According to all the other Rishonim, it just means you have to take it out of your house and declare it Hefter. And then afterwards, you can take it back from Hefter if you want. But anyway, you have to do that. So when it comes to beer, then we're saying, so yes, if Shmita fruit is mixed with Mina, then you have to deal with it before beer. Because you're able to eat it, so therefore it's considered like Davar Shiesh L'Matirin. But when it comes to eating it after the time of beer, that it should aser what it's mixed in, then we wouldn't. Then benois and tam. Then we would say that you go according to nois and tam. In other words, it can be bottled, whether it's b'minon, whether shein or minon. You would still go according to the usual rules and say that it could be bottled. So what do we see from all of that? That with Shvius was saying that the gedulim are not mala as the ikker. So we're saying that because otherwise the fact is that the Ran says this is where we see that his that's where this is what he says this is where we see a proof for his svara from the fact that the Gemara brought this braisa that we're talking about the not just the gedulim whether they're able to be mevatel the original but or the gedulim themselves also. So if they were going to be considered something separate than the ikker, then nothing's going to be also anything. It's all going to be bottled. So because Reb Shimon is telling us that there's a possibility of bittul when it comes to Shmita. So obviously, therefore, so it must be the gedulim are not like the ikker, and you can talk about being a bottle. So the point is, you see that he's saying that at least as far as beer, in fact, we say it's not bottled. So you see, in other words, that they were saying that it's not bottled. Only when it gets mixed with other produce are we talking about benois in town. And the answer, the Gemara says, "V'dilma honami l'chumra shaini." Still, maybe there also it's different l'chumra. Maybe we would say in principle we would say that the gedulin are like the ikker, and therefore we're saying that they're considered like the ikker. So we're saying that the gedulin are like the ikker, and therefore they can't be milet. But maybe that's only because we're going l'chumra, but not necessarily. So here the Ram says actually before when we use the word l'chumra, we meant me'ikr ad-din, it would be different, but we're machmir to be on the safe side. Here we're saying that if we say l'chumra, it means we actually have two chumras. Number one, that we're considering it like davar she'yesh hamatirin, and number two that the gedulim are not osir, and we still say hol nami l'chumra, that maybe in fact we would say yes. Reb Shimon is telling us that you apply both chumras in that case, but still that doesn't necessarily answer Reb Yishmael's original question, which involved we want to be matter them. We want to say that the onion that was replanted after shmita, that the gedulim should be milah, not necessarily. So we still don't have a solid proof one way or the other to answer his question. So we'll continue this discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and then work it out further. And eventually, again, we still haven't even related all of this to our Mishnah. We're gonna continue that later on in the Sugya. We're gonna get back to when we said about Chibufim and Gedulim in our Mishnah. Then on Daf Nun Tes is where we're gonna get back to our Mishnah and relate it into this. Yeah. Shabbat shalom, everyone.